My name is Kevin Clark. I have been teaching ESL in a public K-5 charter school for the past 7 years. This is year number 8 for me, but this year I've kind of transitioned from teaching to an administrative role, overseeing our ESL program. But for the past 2 years, I've also been involved in running an after-school Bible club at our school for students aged K-5. My brother, Pastor Chris, asked if I would just come talk a little bit about that. So that's going to be my goal today. Before we jump into it, though, let's just say a word of prayer, and then we can get started. Father, thank you that we get to have conferences like this, Lord, and thank you for so many people who have a heart to serve your kids, Lord. I pray that everyone would leave this conference feeling stirred up afresh, Lord, to serve you and to minister to your kids. And I pray specifically, Lord, for this workshop, that it would be an encouragement to people who are here. Lord, you know what people are looking for in this workshop. I pray that you would speak to each person what they need today, that you'd use this time for your purposes. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to do a few things here, but really quick, just curious who's here. Is there anyone here currently working in a public school? Okay, there's a few people. Okay. That'll be important just because as we look at some of the laws about Bible clubs and public schools, like that is something to consider, whether or not you're currently working in that school, because that's kind of where I want to start off today. I want to look at the legalities first of Bible clubs and public schools, and then kind of look at some organizations that are currently doing Bible clubs in schools, and then we can talk about why we might want to start a club, how maybe to go about doing that. And then I'll briefly go over what a day of club could look like, specifically in the K-5 setting, because this is a children's ministry conference. I just have a list of some verses that have encouraged me in this work, so I'm just going to share them with you, and we'll wrap up by just talking about some of the fruit that can be born from this kind of ministry. So there's a lot of different court cases that have revolved around Christian activity at public schools, and this is by no means a list of all of them, but some important court cases and laws to know are first and foremost the Establishment Clause, which is part of the First Amendment. It says that the government cannot declare an official religion for the nation or display preferential treatment for one religion over another. That's important because public schools are considered government entities. So public schools aren't supposed to show preferential treatment to one religion over another. In 1952, there was a court case where it was ruled that public school students could actually be excused from classes during the school day, and they could be involved in religious education off campus, and that would happen like during a special or something. So that's permitted, and there are actually organizations today that do that, that actually like set up busing kids from public schools to an off-site location to do some sort of Bible class, and then they take them back. So that was something that the court deemed was allowable. In 1984, the Equal Access Act declared that schools can't deny the students the right to hold extracurricular religious club meetings on school grounds during non-instructional time, which would be like lunch or after school. So that's specific to students. So that ruled that students, if they chose to, could meet during non-instructional time on school grounds to have prayer meetings or Bible studies together. In 2001, an organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship, who organizes these clubs called Good News Clubs in public schools, they were involved in a court case which ruled that religious groups have to be granted the same access to school facilities as other extracurricular outside groups. So there was this school that was trying to deny Good News Clubs from happening on campus, but they were allowing other outside organizations to run clubs on campus. They were having like Boy Scout people come in and other organizations. And the court ruled that that wasn't constitutional, that if other outside groups were allowed to use school grounds, then religious groups could also meet on school grounds. And I think that this case is also very important for us because this court case also ruled that adults can actually be the ones involved in running these clubs. It doesn't have to be student-led. It can be adult-led. Follow that up, a few years later, there was a court case in 2008. There was a lot of things going on in this court case, but one of the things was that there was parents who had formed like a prayer group at a school, and they were meeting to pray in the cafeteria during school hours, not involving students or anything, but they were there praying pretty regularly, and the school was allowing it. Some other parents complained. It ended up becoming a court case, and the court ruled that these parents, it was within their right to meet in the school cafeteria, to meet on school grounds, and to pray together. But the court also had some things to say to the school, to certain teachers and administrators who were involving themselves in that prayer meeting. They kind of rebuked the school and said that teachers, administrators, school personnel, while they're on the clock, should not be involved in these clubs or organizations because the court said that would look like the school was endorsing this particular religion. And because the school is a public and a government entity, schools aren't supposed to show preference towards one religion over another. So those are a few important court cases to know. And just a few things to draw from that are first and foremost, Bible clubs are allowed to happen on school grounds. And by the way, I see people like taking pictures of this. I do have a lot of these notes on paper here. So you can definitely, sorry, should have said that. Yep, a lot of this information is on a one-page handout here. Sure, you want to pass them out? Thank you. So a few things to take away from those court cases as we consider Bible clubs in public schools is first and foremost, Bible clubs are legally allowed to take place on school grounds. They have to happen during non-instructional time, like during school, school lunch, or after school. They can be student-led or adult-led. And students, they can even opt into a program to leave school for part of the day and then come back to and be involved in clubs like this. School employees can't be involved in clubs while they're on the clock. They can, however, sponsor such clubs. They can host such clubs in their classrooms. They can oversee such clubs, but they can't directly be involved in running clubs while they're on the clock. That being said, whether or not school employees can run a Bible club after school when they're off the clock is still very much legally gray area, and that's kind of a gray area that I've been swimming around in for the past couple years because I am a public school employee, and I have been running Bible clubs at our school while I'm off the clock for the past 2 years. If I ended up, you know, having to go to court, I don't know that I would win. I could see kind of what the other side would say. They would say, I know you're off the clock, but all of those kids there still see you as a school employee, and so it still kind of looks like the perception is that this school is supporting this religion over another, but then the flip side is I might counter and say, but perception isn't the same thing as reality. Like I am off the clock. This is my own time. I could have gone home, but didn't. And so it's not really clear yet whether there hasn't really been any court cases this direct to rule whether or not school employees can run clubs off the clock. So I'm just kind of doing it until I'm told not to. Some clubs that currently operate in public schools. I give you a list of those. Child Evangelism Fellowship is one of them. That's the organization that I've been involved in for the past couple years. Just met another CEF member here who's also involved doing Bible clubs in some public schools.
CEF also has curriculum for middle school.
Oh, nice.
In recent years, we've been trying to bridge that gap between elementary and high school. We've actually just started using the curriculum at one school and are using it in another, hopefully in
the spring season. Cool, yeah. So even in middle schools and hopefully high schools eventually. So CEF does good news clubs at public schools. There's an organization called Impact Kids. that's based in Oklahoma, but they kind of work with schools in lots of different states, equipping teachers with materials to run Bible clubs. There's anyone here from Ohio? Any Ohio people? No? Okay. Well, there is one organization in Ohio that does this as well. And then LifeWise Academy, that's one of those organizations that actually buses kids off-site and does off-site Bible clubs for students in public schools. And they're currently operating, you see there, in 34 different states. There's some other organizations that work in middle and high school as well, but I imagine most people here are coming from an elementary school side of things. You can raise your hand and let me know if I'm wrong about that. That being said, you don't have to be involved in an organization to run a Bible club at a school, but it certainly can be helpful for a lot of different reasons. A lot of these organizations equip you with different resources, like pre-made lesson plans and visuals. CEF does like teacher training. I'm sure some of the other organizations do that as well. So it can be helpful in that regard. And then it's also helpful just to know that there's a group of people who are very well-versed in their rights who kind of have your back in case anyone were to say something to you. You could always loop in the leaders in whatever organization you're involved with, and they could help you kind of navigate that. So it's definitely helpful in some ways to be involved in an organization. If you're not involved, though, in an organization and you want to do something like this, I would encourage you to at least talk to the leaders in your church and to kind of do this through them. Just because I imagine most school administrators, if they just heard there's some random person in their community that wants to come to a Bible club, they might be a little more hesitant than if there was somebody at a local church who wanted to come to a Bible club. It might just give you more credibility to be connected to an actual church or an organization as well. So those are some organizations that currently are doing this kind of work, and there's a lot of different schools that have Bible clubs going on in them, which is pretty cool.
Do we have, like, a list of Philadelphia schools that might have Bible clubs?
I'm aware of a few. I don't have an exhaustive list. You might know of more of them.
I can get you in touch.
I know of some schools who have had them in the past. I know Southwark has had one in the past. I know, where are the Schultzes at? Willard has one currently. I'm at Esperanza, which is in North Philly. So there are definitely several in Philly that currently have, clubs going on, but. Yeah.
I'm more of the downtown person.
Yep.
But, you know, I am interested for my own
business. Yeah. And we can talk after. But I'm sure, too, if you went through any of these organizations, I think a lot of them would be willing to let you see one in action before you actually. Yep.
But if you should already have your clearances on file and stuff, so that should be less of a problem.
Absolutely. So let's talk really quick about why we might want to start a club like this. And I think most of you know the big reasons. But some things that I have found just helpful to remind myself as I do this work is that the harvest is plentiful, especially among kids. I have definitely found that basic Bible literacy has steadily been decreasing over the years. I recently read, like you see up on the screen, that a lot of kids have never heard the gospel. In fact, 8 out of 10 children don't regularly go to church anymore. And so it used to be the case that most people had a general understanding of like the basic big Bible stories that everyone knows or just the basic gospel. But that's becoming less and less the case. When I had my first Bible club at my school and I held up the Bible and asked kids if they knew what it was, none of them did. A couple of them had seen one before in their house, but none of them knew what it actually was. The very first lesson we did was Adam and Eve, the creation and the fall, and none of the kids had heard of Adam and Eve. They were hearing about it for the first time. That first year, we went from Adam and Eve to doing a series on the life of Christ throughout the school year, and like every story we read was new to them, even the crucifixion and the resurrection. They haven't heard. And so in many ways, it kind of feels like sometimes that children are kind of like an unreached people group in some ways. You don't have to fly overseas to meet people who have never heard anything from the Bible before. A lot of kids here in America are in that boat currently. That being the case, kids are also the most open to hearing the gospel. I also recently read that 85% of Christians got saved as a child. And certainly, I think that's reflected in what Jesus said when he said that you have to be like children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's something about kids, it's easier for them to have faith than adults sometimes. Adults can be a lot more skeptical. They have tons of questions. They're less likely to just believe something in faith than a child is. And I definitely found when I presented the gospel to the kids in my club, almost all of them immediately prayed to receive Christ. They were like, they heard that Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is the only true and living God. They were told that the Bible is God's words and that all of them are true. They were told that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead so they can be saved. And they were told that that's the only way to be saved. And they were like, all right, well, I want to be saved. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And so many of them just readily believed that, which is a lot, you know, less likely among adults. Kids, they have that childlike faith that Jesus talked about. It's a lot easier for them, I think, to enter the kingdom of heaven than maybe some older people. So the field is definitely plentiful. That being the case, though, just as kids are so open and willing to believe the gospel, they're also very open and willing to believe a lot of other things that are thrown at them. And more so today, you're all aware that a lot of things that are not true are being thrown at kids. And that's because Satan hates kids. And he knows how willing they are to receive the gospel. And so he wants to slip other things in there first to try and keep them from him. I was actually praying this school year. I've done these Bible clubs for the past 2 years, but this year is kind of a busier, crazier year for me. You saw my wife and son a moment ago. They were in here. So we've got a new little guy at our house, and I kind of switched into a new role at the school, which has me working longer hours. I went back to school to start working on a principal cert. So there was just all these things that made life busier. And I was kind of starting to consider that, you know, maybe I should take a break this year to work on these other things. I don't know if I have as much time this year to be involved doing this kind of a club on campus. But then we hired all these new people this school year. A lot of people we hired somehow are part of the LGBTQ community. And all of a sudden, like, pride flags just started getting hung up all over our school. And I just realized, I was like, man, these kids, they're being told so many lies about God, about where we came from, about what gender is, what marriage is. And I was like, if the door is still open here to share the gospel, like, somebody has to be here sharing it. Somebody has to be here telling them what's really true. So I put in my proposal again, still waiting to hear if that's been approved, but looking to do that again this year, just because I'm aware of how willing these kids are to receive most things that are thrown at them. So I definitely want to be there sharing the truth with them. There's a lot of fruit that can come from the gospel being sown in young hearts, and we'll talk about a bit of that fruit later on. But before we get there, how might we go about starting a Bible club in a public school? And that kind of, I think, depends on if you're working in that school or not. And it seems like most of you are not working in schools, but some of you are. So for school staff, definitely the first thing to do is to pray. This is kind of like a full circle moment for me being involved in this workshop here. In the middle of my first year of teaching, I went to a children's ministry conference in California at Raul Reese's Church, and they had a session like this. There was an organization that did Bible clubs in schools, and they were presenting. So I went to that workshop. I went up and I talked to the people afterward, and their organization, it only operated in California, but they referred me to some other organizations that do clubs in other states, and CEF was one of them. So I kind of came back from that connected with a nearby CEF office. It was like 20 minutes away from where I lived. Started going to their meetings, learned about their organization, and then started conversations with administration at my school. That was in 2019. The club that I started up at the school didn't begin until 2023, several years later. And it was several years of praying and continuing to ask over and over again each school year until kind of unexpectedly God just opened the door, which I'll talk more about how that happened later. But start by praying and then just decide, first and foremost, if you want to do a Bible club at a school, decide if you want to use a pre-made curriculum and join a pre-existing organization, or if you want to kind of go and do your own thing. Again, it would still be best to be connected to a church to do that, but decide if you want to have something pre-made and be a part of a group, or if you're going to do that on your own. And then start looking into some of these groups and maybe start just going to some of their meetings to learn more about them and what they do and what they believe. If you are a school employee, certainly you want to think about if you want to try and run the club yourself during non-working hours in that legally gray area. The water's great. Come on in. Or do you want to sponsor a club and just host it in your classroom? Because if that's the case, again, you could connect to an organization and they, in most cases, have people that they will actually send out, people who are already trained in the curriculum who might come and do that at your school if you can kind of be like an in for them into the school. So again, if you're looking just to sponsor, either find an organization member or somebody in your church who would be willing to do this. Just a few weeks ago here at Calvary in the sanctuary, during announcements in the morning, Chuck Chandler, who is our high school pastor, he made an announcement and he said, if there's any teachers here, he does high school ministry, so he said if there's any high school or junior high teachers here who are interested in having a Bible club at their school, or if there are any junior high or high school students here who would like that, please come talk to me after the service so that we can kind of connect and I can connect with the administration at your school, and I or somebody here at the church, like, we can come to your school and we can run a Bible study. So if you're looking to connect with somebody at your church who would do this, like, you could even just talk to your pastor and maybe like have some sort of announcement made. Because chances are there are people who would be more than willing to do that. I recognize most faces here. Who's from Calvary Philly here? Okay. So most people, but a few aren't. So I imagine in most churches there would be people who are willing to do that. So you have to find somebody who's willing to come if you just want to host. But then obviously you have to talk to administration. And if you're working in a school and you're going to approach administration about this, I would be prepared to explain the legalities. The very first thing that my principal at the time asked me when I brought this up was, yeah, I have to look into, like, she was very open to it, but she was like, I have to kind of look into, like, the laws about this, though. And I was able to just tell her, like, well, I've looked into that already, and these are some of the laws. Like, you can still do your own research, but just know that I have looked into this, and it is allowed. And that pretty quickly put her mind at ease. So be prepared to explain the legalities. Most clubs, they ask for, like, a reason. Like, why do you want to have this club here? And probably most public school administrators, unless you know that they're a believer, aren't going to want to hear you say, well, because I want every child to, you know, put their faith in Jesus and be saved from their sins. So I believe when I talked about it, I kind of came at it from like a character development sort of lens. Like, we're going to be looking at, I was very open about what we would be doing. I said, you know, we'll do some worship songs each club. We'll look at a Bible story and we'll kind of talk about a lesson that we learned from that Bible story each week. And then we'll have a memory verse that we'll do each week and we'll have some sort of a game to review everything. So I outlined what the club would look like. I gave the reason. Again, it was helpful, I think, for her to hear. It was like a character development kind of angle. And then I explained to her again what a typical day of club would look like and the logistics. So they'll probably want to know pretty quickly, like, how often do you want to meet? How many kids are you going to want in this club? How frequently you're going to meet. After you kind of have that conversation, if you're given the green light, you're going to want to discuss with administration how they want information about this club to be dispersed. At my school, every time there's a new club that's formed, something gets sent out to every family, like a flyer gets sent home with each kid. So we made up a flyer, and actually, again, I went through CEF, so they had flyers already, and I actually brought copies of them in case you'd want to see like what that looked like and what kind of information was on it. That was sent home to every family. Other schools, they might have like a specific place in the school where that kind of information gets posted. Whatever the case, you want to find out how families are going to find out and how they're going to sign up. And then you're going to want to get parent permission for each kid that joins the club. Parents have to be told exactly what the club is and what's going to happen at the club. And parents need to sign off, especially for elementary school students. High schoolers, it's a little different. Some junior highs, it's a little different. But for K-5 students, you're going to want a parent signature. And then after all of that, you're just going to want to keep praying. If you're not part of a school, a lot of that process looks similar. What's really different, though, is that you might not have an in at a school. If there's a school in your community and you don't work there or you don't know somebody who's there, probably a first step for you is going to be connecting with people at your church and seeing if there's a way for you to make some sort of announcement that you're interested in doing a Bible club in public schools in the area, and to see if there are any students or teachers there who would be willing to partner with you in that and help you kind of get in. Let me see if I'm missing anything there. Okay.
Have you known anybody who probably works with community organization like the Free Library or Philadelphia? Like, we have a lot of branches. I mean, there's a lot of branches. Has anyone ever considered doing something like that with library?
At a library?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I've never heard of a Bible club at a library, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's happened.
Do they have community rooms that people can utilize? I work with the school system. They come and do presentations to us all the time. So I was thinking, like, they can bring those other groups to come and do presentation and read, you know, when they have, like, their event with the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Community to come out and speak to the kids and the families. Why can't we do something similar with what we're trying to put here?
It does, and I imagine that just like public schools were told in their court case that they had to allow Bible clubs to take place if other organizations were coming and having meetings there, that it would be the same case with libraries. I've just never heard of a specific example of that. But if you're not a school employee, definitely it would be helpful for you to get connected to somebody who's in a school that you're involved in running a club at, and then having either that student, their parents, or that school employee you know talk to administration first and just say, like, hey, I'm aware of somebody who would be willing to come do this club at our school. I think it would be great for these reasons. What do you think? And then after that, you could even call the school yourself and offer the same thing. But throughout the process, be praying.
I would think, though, to have it in the school would be easier because the kids are already there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to arrange, well, unless the school will do that, busing to get them to a library.
I have some ideas with the Free Library because with the department I work with, I've done partnership with the Free Library to do workshop for parents. And I was kind of thinking along the same line. I would just reach out to like some of the schools in that neighborhood and say, hey, do you mind sharing this flyer with the families?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the Northeast branch right there on Busselton. Oh no, that's a different branch name. And then we have the far Northeast one on Nice Road. So I was thinking, like, if the school turn you down, let's try to go to one of the other facilities.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you mind?
Go ahead.
So one thing that CEF has been promoting is Christmas party clubs. And what this is, it's a one-time party club, hour and a half, two-hour program. It's a one-time program. And part of the purpose behind that, I mean, yes, it's an evangelistic outreach, but it's not entirely meant to be a, great, you heard the gospel, never see you again. It's meant to be a starting point.
Yeah.
And so it's meant to start good news clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's less intimidating for me to say, hey, come out to this one-time event. Christmas time, people are a bit more open. So it's less intimidating to come out to this one-time event, see what it's like, and if they love it, we can say, hey, we can do this in your school once a week for a certain period of time. Same thing goes for your helpers and volunteers, too. It's less intimidating for me to say, hey, come to this one-time event, get trained on it, and just give us a day and a half of your time, compared to, okay, we're going to do a whole day training and just commit to once a week for a certain period of time. So it works both ways. So the same thing connects as well. And we advertise in the library on their boards and stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Clubs could look a lot of different ways. Some organizations have like a structure they prefer you to use. Some kind of give you a structure and then give you flexibility to switch it up however you want. For me, what it looks like, I would always start off by reminding kids our club rules. I'd have up on the smart board what our rules for this club are. Tried to keep it short and simple because they were K to fifth graders, so be kind, be respectful, raise a quiet hand, participate. Those were our club rules. And then I would show kids our agenda. I'd remind them every week. Our agenda would always be the same. We'd always start with worship. I would do two or three worship songs with them. I'd bring my guitar. But I do know that for people who don't play guitar or aren't that musical, a lot of times they'll just play worship songs like through the smart board or through a speaker or something, and they'll be up front singing and showing kids hand motions to lead worship that way. So we would always start with some worship, and then we would do our actual Bible lesson, followed by some sort of a memory verse connected to our lesson for the day, and then we'd always follow it up with a review game. You can see we had a little David and Goliath review game. We were shooting some pebbles at Goliath. But that's what a typical day of club looked like for me. And then the following week, if a kid knew the memory verse and they could say it to me, or I always had one or two other people there helping me out. Just some other people in the school who heard that I was doing this were like, oh, we'd like to help out too. So I had a couple other adults in the room. So the next week, kids would come tell me the memory verse from last week, or they'd tell one of the other adults, and they could pick like a prize from, had like a big plastic treasure chest filled with dollar store prizes. An hour long. Yep. We did have that whole range of kids, and definitely for some of the older students, we kind of let them be helpers too. Because definitely for some of them, sometimes like it felt weird to do hand motions of certain songs, but when they were helpers and they got to like stand up front and help lead worship and show the motions, like it was great for them too. But I do think like, if it's possible, like if I had enough kids sign up maybe where I could have two different days of clubs and do like a K to two club and a third through fifth grade club, that would be definitely worth considering for sure. But that's, yeah.
My question is, do you find that you're getting into any kind of hot water because the kids are being taught things in the classroom, the LGBTQ, the gender identity, and then when they come to your club, you're saying something different, or the staff at the school, you know, saying, oh, he's teaching them the wrong stuff, or, you know what I mean? Is there any kind of conflict happening?
Yeah, there hasn't been yet. But like I said, it was kind of this school year. We were really small the past few school years. We've been very small. We've been like 150 kids. We were renting space in a Salvation Army. And we just finished this school year constructing a brand new elementary school building right next to Edison High School, if you're familiar where that is, on 2nd and Hunting Park. We're like right across from the football field. Like we look out the window and we see like the track behind Edison. So we went from 150 kids to 750 kids. And we had to hire like 90 new staff people. And that's where kind of we saw an influx in people who were part of this community. So in the past, I never received pushback from teachers. No one keyed my car or anything. But I don't know what that would look like this year, if that might, you know, lead to interesting conversations or not.
Did CEF help you when that larger man
So they always offered to send people, but I always felt like I had enough help, just because I had other people in the building who I knew were believers and who were there, and they wanted to help me out running the club. So I always felt like I had enough help there.
Can you give me, like, with 150 kids, how many helpers you think you need? And then, of course, you have the teenagers.
Yeah. So... Yeah, sorry. Those numbers are the whole school, yeah. Just how many kids were in the school. No, that would be... I would have asked for more help if there was 750 kids. Yeah. So we had like 20 to 25 is typically what how many kids we'd have in a club. And, you know, I started it off just setting a cap at 15. But then, like, kids tell their friends, and then more kids kept signing up. So I just kind of kept pushing the limit. Like, I had a kind of a smaller classroom. So definitely I was thinking about, like, what's comfortable, what will become chaotic. And so we did end up with a waiting list towards the end of the year. But 20 to 25 is usually what we would have per week. So that's what a day of club would look like. Some verses that I kind of clung to throughout this whole process. I have them up here. I put them on your piece of paper. Certainly, that verse I mentioned from Mark already. But then it was so important for me to remember that just, especially some weeks where I would come right out of work, roll into this club, feeling kind of tired, feeling a little unprepared sometimes. Things felt a little hectic. It was so encouraging just to remember all I have to do is open up the Bible and teach these kids what God's word says. And then God will do all the rest. Like I'm really not doing much of anything here except opening up the Bible. And in my club, like I always made, you know, I was always very intentional about actually reading our Bible stories from the Bible, not like just going off visuals, or my own pre-made notes. I use, an NIRV, New International Reader's Version. It's written at a third grade reading level, but it is a valid translation of the Bible that's sold in the bookstore here and other places online. And so I would read our Bible stories from the Bible, and I would let God's Word minister to kids. We all know Romans 1:16. It's the gospel is the power of God to salvation. All I had to do was share the gospel. That was such an encouragement to me. God's word, Isaiah 55, says it never returns void. If I just open up God's word and share it, God's going to do something awesome in these kids' hearts. Hebrews 4 says that God's word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, just so many reminders. Just all I have to do is open God's word and share it, and God's going to do what he wants to do in these kids' hearts. And then it's always good to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul wrote that he planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Every time there was fruit, and we'll talk about some of the fruit that has transpired from this club. I always remind myself, like, it was all God. God's the one. I can't make fruit grow. And I certainly stumbled and bumbled learning things along the way that would, like, if it was up to me, like, fruit would have been kept from growing. But it was God's word and his gospel. And so he did what he wanted to do in kids' hearts, and he grew fruit from that. The parable of the sower and the seed, again, all I have to do is open up God's word and sow seeds. That's all we're called to do. And then I'll talk about 1 Samuel 14 and why I put that there in a second. But definitely wouldn't want to finish up this workshop without talking about some of the fruit that could be born from a club like this. I have up here just a few pieces of fruit that I've seen so far. And again, to God be the glory. He's the one that produces fruit. But again, most students who came to the club prayed to receive Christ as their Savior pretty quickly. A lot of them started telling their friends about Good News Club, about the Bible. A lot of them got their friends kind of hype and their friends wanting to come. I started, you know, as a teacher in the school, I kind of got to see and interact with these kids throughout the school day. And one of the really cool things for me to see was I would go into some rooms, and like as kids are working independently, like I would hear some of the kids from club like singing our worship songs from Good News Club, like as they're in their classroom just doing their classwork. A lot of kids also would start, our memory verses for each week, I would kind of cut them out and I would laminate them so they'd have a little laminated copy of our memory verse. A lot of them started pulling out those verses at lunch or, you know, during class when they shouldn't, to practice them. Some of them even like would keep the verse in their ID lanyard. So like they'd just have it, they could look at it throughout the day to work on their memory verse. And I would just see that going on through the school day. And definitely I started hearing reports of kids sharing what they were learning and doing in club with their families. One of our administrators was sending her daughter to club, and she told me one day, she was like, yeah, I was talking with my friend on the way home from work, and I guess they were talking about how they had lied about something. And she was like, yeah, my daughter pipes up from the back seat and says, lying is a sin, you know, you shouldn't lie. Because at Good News Club, we talked about what sin is, and we talked about what God's word is and what the gospel is. And these kids, they started sharing that with their families. You don't always get, like, when you do children's ministry, you don't always get to see the fruit. It's really cool sometimes, though, when God gives you those little windows to encourage you to see some of the fruit that's being born. After the very first club, the very first day that we met, one of the parents sent this email up here to our somebody at the front desk at our school, our receptionist. And it said, good morning, Maddie. I don't know who exactly to send this message to, but Caleb loved the Good News Club. He had a great time. As soon as he got in the car, he told me all about Adam and Eve, the snake, sin, the apple, Jesus, the songs he got to sing, the hot potato game they played. He's been reciting the quote card, or our memory verse card, and he put it in his special drawer in his room where he keeps his most special possessions. He was actually excited about praying with me last night before bed. He got into an argument with his brother, and he felt bad about it afterwards. When I sat down to talk to him about it, he said that he wants to be a child of God, and because of that, he doesn't want to fight with his brother anymore, because God wouldn't want him to do that. He's very excited to be in the Good News Club, and I'm very grateful that you guys have this program set up for the children. Thank you so much. Please see that the right person gets this message. And that was just, you know, definitely, I think God just giving me a little encouragement after that very first meeting, like, there's a lot of things that I want to do, that God was saying I want to do this school year in these kids' hearts. And if you just keep opening up my word and sharing the gospel, I'm going to do my work. So that was just one example. But I've heard from, you know, other parents since then just about kids going home and sharing things that they're learning in Good News Club with them. It also did open up some conversations with staff members, nobody who was angry. But one person in particular that I remember, she came up to me one day and she was like, so, Good News Club, I know what it is, but like, what is it? And so, you know, it opened up doors just to have conversations with other colleagues who like heard the songs as they walked past the door, heard the hype from kids and were like, so what is this? What are you doing? And we got to talk about it. It shared, you know, it opened up doors even to share with staff. Yeah.
So, like, you explained your why to the principal when she asked why this should be in the school.
Yeah.
What kind of why can kids give their friends to invite us? Like, they invite, like, are they invited in the school, like snacks or something?
Yeah, I mean, we would have snacks. And we had, you know, we had prizes. We had games. The review games at the end of every lesson always involved candy, you know, being handed out to kids who could answer questions. But with kids, like, they don't have to come up with another reason to invite their friends to club. They have the freedom to just be like, I'm learning about Jesus and it's awesome. You should come to club. Yeah. Yep. So a lot of them would share the excitement. And, you know, maybe part of the hype was that they were showing, like, look at this prize I got from saying my memory verse. But, yeah, I don't think there's any specific way they have to frame it. Whatever gets them excited, they can use to talk to their friends about it. They don't have to hide or find a different angle to approach it through, because as students, they have the right to talk about their faith with their peers if they want to. Some final thoughts as we wrap up here, because we have just about 10 minutes. And I do want to leave some time at the end if there's any more questions. I said kind of towards the beginning that I started praying about this club and trying to get this club started several years ago in 2019, and it didn't happen until 2023. When I first asked administration about doing a club, I felt like it was a done deal that it was going to happen right away, because at the time, our CEO at the charter school, which is like our equivalent to a superintendent, I knew he was a believer. And I knew that our principal at the time was a believer. So I was like, this is a done deal. This is going to be I'm not even like nervous to have this conversation. I'm just going to go talk to them. And they're going to say, of course you can do this club. But it didn't happen that way. Oddly enough, there was excitement and openness to it, but there was also kind of like caution, like, all right, let's, you know, we want to find the right time to bring this up to the board. Let's be careful about it. So, you know, when we do present it, it gets approved. So there was some caution. And then there was, you know, several other things that just kind of ended up getting this shelved. So there was a principal change that happened. There was COVID that happened, and then we were all online. And then there was coming back from COVID, which was a chaotic year. And then the CEO announced that he was leaving, and so things kept just getting derailed for different reasons. So a couple years ago in 2023, the 23-24 school year, it was the beginning of the school year, and I was just like, it's been a few years. I don't even know if it's worth like continuing to pursue this, especially now. The CEO, who's a believer, is leaving. The principal we have now isn't a believer. It seems less likely now that this club would be approved than it did before. So I was kind of on the verge of just not pursuing this any further. But as I was praying about it, like, I just felt the Lord nudge me to read the account of Jonathan and his armor bearer, 1 Samuel 14. So I'll just read a portion of that here, because there's a couple verses that God kind of just used to get things in motion. So a lot of you know the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. The Philistines have come up. They're fighting against Israel. One day, Jonathan decides he's just going to go attack this garrison of Philistines by himself with his armor bearer, just the two of them. And his reasoning, his thought process behind it is really what spoke to me that morning that I read this. It says in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul." And most of you know how that story ended. Jonathan and his armor bearer went, and God gave them victory over that garrison of Philistines. Pretty crazy story. But as I read that, I just felt the Lord telling me, like, why don't you just go and see? Jonathan here, he didn't know what would happen. He didn't know if it was really God's will for him to go attack the Philistines. He just said, you know what? Let's go try this. It may be that God will give us victory. Let's just go and see. And that's what they did, and God gave them victory. Jonathan had that confidence. He didn't know exactly if it was what God wanted him to do, but he did know that it was within God's power to do it, if God chose to. And so I really felt God just speak to me and say, you know, it's within my power, regardless of who's in administration at the school, to open up this door and make this club happen. So why don't you just go have that conversation and just go and see? Go talk to that principal who you wouldn't expect to open the club, and just see what happens. And so I went, and I remember one morning I told the principal, I was like, "Hey, do you mind if we like sit and chat after school? I want to talk to you about something." She was like, "Of course." After school, we sat down and talked, and I don't know who was more surprised, if she was more surprised by what I asked or if I was more surprised at how she responded to what I asked. The door opened so easily. She heard about the club and what I wanted to do, and she was like, she's very much a positive vibes person. Like, this sounds, you know, oh, a good news club? We could use some good news in this. We could use some positivity in this school. So, again, she was like, all right, I have to look into the legalities. I shared some of what I already knew. And she was like, okay, great. You've done your homework. Cool. Then let me just talk to a couple people. How many kids do you want? How often do you want to meet? She started asking me like right away all these questions, and I was pretty surprised. But I shouldn't have been, because with God, it was just as easily to start a club then as it was to start a club when, you know, there was a CEO who was a believer and a principal who was a believer, overseeing things. Yeah. Part of me also wonders if she was just so relieved, like when she heard that I wanted to talk to her, she probably thought it was something negative or some problem. She's like, oh, just a Bible. Okay, sure. You're not quitting? Okay. and God opened that door. So I would just, to kind of wrap things up here, encourage you guys, if this is something you're praying about, certainly I can relate to feeling nervous about having those initial conversations with administration or whoever you have to talk to. At the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen? Why not just go and see? Because God is able to do whatever he wants with many or with few. So I added that passage to that list of verses that's encouraged me along the way, just so you guys can have that and keep thinking about that. But that's all I have for you guys here. I'm going to end in prayer, and then if there's any final questions, you guys can definitely ask them. I think we have like 3 minutes before we're supposed to go back over into the sanctuary for our wrap-up worship and time of prayer. But let's close in prayer here. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts. And Lord, certainly I pray that you would open up more doors in schools for kids to hear the gospel, Lord. And if there's anyone here that you're leading to do that work, that they would respond in faith, Lord, that you'd give them the encouragement that they need to take that next step. And maybe if there's anyone that came here who wasn't even seriously considering this, Lord, if that's something you have for them, I pray that you'd give them just a strong prompting of your spirit. But we pray for the kids in our communities, Lord, the ones who have never heard the gospel. We pray that you would make a way for them to hear, Lord, and to be saved. We know that this is your work, Lord. So we commit it all into your hands. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Any final questions here? Yeah.
This is kind of a technical question. I'm not going to start one, but somebody invited me to join them in Bucks County. I think he said Pensbury.
Okay.
School district.
I'm by Pensbury. Who was it?
What's that?
Yeah, that's Luda. Stan. Yeah, they're at Manor Elementary School.
Okay, so anybody that he brings in, I would think, has to have one of those papers about clearance, right?
Yep, you'll definitely need clearances if you're going to do this in a school.
I guess I can talk to you about that.
Yeah, I know
that. Not about that, but how do you make sure these kids leave with their parents? I mean,
yeah, that'll look different in each school. Yeah, for me, like, parents knew when to come pick up kids, and then some of the extra help that I had in the room, like if a parent came early or anything, they would walk that kid out to their parent. And yeah, some schools will have like a sign out sheet. So yeah, but that'll look different in each school. Yep. Yes. Yes, I have a whole stack of them up here. So this is the permission slip we used. And because I'm at Esperanza and there's a lot of Spanish speakers there, we also had like a Spanish version of this. But this is, if anyone wants to take an example permission slip, they're up here. My brother told me that the color printer was broken, so they're in black and white. But they're here in case you want to grab one on your way out. Yes.
I'm a student at a public school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you definitely are allowed to start a Bible club during lunchtime. It could even happen before or after school. And you go to church here. So you could kind of decide, do you want to lead the Bible study on your own and kind of lead that? Or do you want someone else to come in and lead the Bible study for you? Yeah. So I would talk to Pastor Chuck, because he's the one who's he made this announcement. He's done that before. And he invited any junior high and high school students who want someone to come to their school to talk to him, because he's willing to go himself to the schools to run the Bible studies. Yeah. So I would talk to Pastor Chuck. You know who that is? Yep. Awesome. Yes. All right.
say Chuck says he has some people that are all ready to start.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I realized after I printed these out, I was like, should have put my email and stuff on it, but I didn't. So, but I can write down my contact info if you want it. You can start it. Most schools have like a date where they start clubs in their school. But I feel like most schools, like mine included, they're fine with a club starting partway through the school year. Oh, a fee. I'm sorry. Is there a fee? So for this, there is no fee for a CEF. Yeah, all of the clubs.
That's not entirely true. So every school district is different. So, like, I have schools that they charge us a $500 deposit to be in their district, and then it's $30 per week. I have another school where it's $75 per week. I have another school where it's $300.
Yeah.
So that's up to the district charging.
So that's the school charging the organization, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's
Philadelphia Public School, it depends on the time you do your club, because if it's like after school hours and they have to keep the building open, then
right.
they will have
yep.
to take the staff yeah.
But again, if it's in a school where there's already clubs happening at that time and the building's already open, there's probably less likely to be a fee, I would think. Yeah.
CEF, are you familiar with any of the other organizations? Do they provide Bibles for the kids in the club?
I don't know that
has a partnership with David C. Cook for their Action Bible resources. So if you buy through CEF, you can get 65% off and free shipping on
mm-hmm.
Action Bible resources. And so those are the Bibles we give out. We primarily use the one that's the full Action Bible, but there's also the one that's the full text, and there's like the ESV Study Bible that has the Action Bible page.
Yeah.
We use their pamphlet during Christmas. So.
Yep, and I know that here at our church too, like Chuck has also offered to give Bibles to like to anyone who wants to do these clubs. Like our church will provide Bibles to give to students as well. So that might be something.
Organization, if you have a connection in the public school that's looking to get the Action Bible in the libraries in those schools.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you have lingering questions, you can hang out. But I know that they're going to be starting up worship and prayer in the sanctuary any minute now.